we're going to jump into this morning. I'm excited to be able to be here and be your the morning speaker. As we said yesterday, and Bob said, Pastor Mike from Boston is going to be here. He's going to be our evening time speaker. He was supposed to get in last night, but his flight got canceled, so he's on his way today, and we're confident he's going to make it here, and you guys are going to love getting the chance to meet him and getting the chance to hear from him. But I want to start out this morning by talk about our theme a little bit. I'm hoping at least you guys have figured out by now, you've seen it all over the camp book and on your t-shirts. And our theme this year is are you ready? And I'm missing, hang on. All right, that was scary. I'm looking down at my notes and I'm staring at page 3. I'm like, where'd page 1 and page 2 go? See how well I remember this. I found it. Our theme this year is are you ready? And the question, of course, that poses is ready for what? And the answer is, as Bob was doing with you guys last night and today, it's about being ready to be everything God wants you to be. Ready to be God's man. Ready to be God's woman. Ready to be whatever it is that God has called you to be, to do whatever God has called you to do. And then we added the words TikTok to it. You guys see that again on your notebook, on maybe on the pens and some of those other things. And I love adding that aspect to it because there's really a double meaning there. But if you look around the world today, we're getting close to the end. We're getting close to the time where the Bible prophesies that the Lord is going to come back and Jesus is going to come to this world again, and everything, he's going to upend everything and put it back the way that he wants it to be. And we have a limited amount of time in our lives right now to do what God wants us to do. And so we're talking about this week, are you ready? Because the clock is ticking on us. Tick-tock. Tick-tock. But I love that tick-tock because there, like I said, there's really a double meaning today. When I, you know, if I were to just get up here and say TikTok to you, what are you guys thinking about?
The app.
The app, exactly. You're not thinking about the clock. You're thinking about your TikTok app. You're thinking about watching funny videos, and you're thinking about the latest dance trends, and you're thinking about influencers, and you're thinking about, and I have no idea, I don't understand this at all, watching people eat their food and do it really loudly. What do they call those videos? ASMR?
Yes.
I don't know what ASMR. It's okay. I don't even know what it stands for. It makes no sense to me. In real life, when you're sitting around somebody and listening to them chomp away at their food, it's like, can we turn me down just a touch? It is it's the grossest thing in the world to me. And then you guys sit here and you watch videos of people eating and chomping and chewing, and it's just disgusting. I don't understand it, but that's what you do. Some of you maybe hope to become TikTok famous. Anybody in here ever said they want to be TikTok famous? Like 2 of you are honest. The rest of you are lying. Thank you. You guys are all trying to become famous. And here's the thing. If you think about it, it's called TikTok, and it's ironic because we're just wasting our time on that stuff. We're just wasting so much time day after day, day after day. And as you get on your TikTok and you scroll away at that thing and you watch all those videos, God's clock is going tick-tock, tick-tock. And you lose more and more time to do things for God, to do things for the Lord, to build your relationship with Him, to become what God wants you to be. I read a study that in 2024... They analyzed it and they said the average teen in America spends 7.5 hours, gets 7.5 hours of screen time. Now that includes video games and watching movies and TV and being on their phone on social media apps like TikTok and everything else. Think about that. Do the math on that really, really, really quickly. Out of a 24-hour day, you on average are spending 7.5, 8, sometimes some people, and that's an average. So that means some people are spending 10 or 11 or 12 hours a day on their phones and on their screens. You sleep for maybe 8 to 10 hours a day if you're getting enough. You spend, I don't know, maybe 3 hours out of your day eating, going to the bathroom, doing things like that you kind of have to do every day, showering. Hopefully you do that every day. And all you have left is maybe 10, 11, 12 hours out of the day, and we're going to waste 7 or 8 hours of those days, of those hours that we have left every day on our phones, wasting our time on something like TikTok. And it does absolutely nothing for you. In fact, studies show that it does just the opposite. They say that kids that spend more time on their phones, they get more screen time, have increased levels of anxiety. They have increased levels of depression. They have poor sleep habits. We live in a world right now where kids can't go to sleep at night without medicine to help them fall asleep, because you're spending so much time on your phones, you're overstimulating your brains, and you lay down at night and you can't calm your mind to even go to sleep and get the rest that your body needs to be able to do something for God. It's the worst thing for us, and yet we become so addicted to it and we spend so much time on it. So my goal this week, our goal this week, is to challenge you to break those trends in your own life. Ask yourself, are you ready to be God's man? Are you ready to be God's woman? Because the Bible tells us some things that we need to know, some things that we need to be ready for. So each day when I get up here in the mornings, I'm going to talk to you about two of those things each day. So my goal for you is by the end of the week, you're going to have a whole list of things that you know very clearly from the Bible that you need to be ready to be able to be everything God wants you to be. And you're going to, not only that, but you're going to know how to do it. You're going to know how to make those things in your life the way that they need to be. So at the end of the week, if somebody asks you, are you ready? Are you really ready to be God's man? You're going to be able to say, yeah, I'm ready. I am ready. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for everybody that's here today, Lord. So exciting to have such a large group of people at a camp like this that want to come and hear your word, want to learn about you, and want to have a better relationship with you. And I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will give me the words to say, Lord. Please get my flesh out of the way. Give me the power to speak exactly what you want me to speak, the truth that you want everybody in this room to hear. And I pray that we'll all be attentive to it, that we'll take things from it, apply them into our lives, Lord, and that we'll learn how to be ready, learn how to be the man or the woman that you want us to be, Lord. And we'll give you the honor and glory for all of it. We love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So where do we start? Today, we're going to talk about a ready mind and a ready heart. Because that's really the beginning of it. If you want to do anything for God in your life, you have to start there. You have to start with a ready mind and a ready heart. Let's talk about a ready mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Your mind is a very powerful thing if you don't know it. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase mind over matter. But there's a reason that it's out there. You know, people say it as a motivation that, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. And the truth of the matter is, you know, with maybe a very few exceptions, it's really true. But that phrase mind over matter exists for a reason. Your mind has a very strong effect over your body and the things that you do and the things that you're able to do. There was a study that was done one time not too long ago where, you know, everybody has these smartwatches today. I don't have one. Sierra was actually asking about my watch on the way in today. I don't have an Apple Watch. I don't have anything against them. I'm just not a fan. I don't want one. I just like regular old watches. But those things are super high tech, right? They tell you, you know, like if you get all excited, it's checking your heart rate. It'll tell you to sit down and calm down. And if you've been sitting on your butt for too long, it'll tell you to get up and walk around. It does all these things, right? But it tracks your sleep somehow. And first of all, the study said this. It said, don't always believe it, okay? Because they're not always all that accurate when they tell you how well you sleep. So if you go by that, just know that you may not be getting an accurate readout. But here's the point. The main point of the study was they were trying to look at the power of the mind and the effect that it has on the body. So they took a group of people, they monitored their sleep, okay? They took half the group and they gave them accurate data on how much they slept. They said, you had a good night's sleep. You slept for 9 hours uninterrupted. They took the other half who slept the exact same amount. They slept the same 9 hours. They had a great night's sleep. But they told them that they didn't have a good night's sleep. They gave them bad data. They gave them data that said you woke up four times. You were snoring or whatever. And you didn't get a good night's sleep at all. You actually only slept for about 5 hours. even though they slept the same amount of time as the other group, the interesting thing is the group that was told that they had a bad night's sleep actually throughout the day had like cognitive mental problems. Their brain didn't work as well as the other group. They reported being extremely tired throughout the day, even though they had the exact same sleep as the other group. It was because they thought they didn't have the right amount of sleep. They were yawning and they were tired and they were walking around mopey all day long. Your brain has a tremendous impact on your body. The things that you think about matter, and you've got to understand that. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of something called the placebo effect, but when they study medicines, they have to do studies to prove that a medicine is safe and that it actually works before they can sell it to you and to me. And so when they do these studies, they have a comparison group. So, you know, half of the people in the study will get the actual active medicine, whatever it is. Let's say it's a pain medicine, okay? And the other half, they get sugar pills, but they look like the regular pills, but there's just no active ingredient in it. It's just a sugar pill, and they don't know the difference. And what they find is that many of the patients that take the pill that has no medicine in it actually get the same impact on their body. They get the same pain relief that the patients that took the actual medicine. It's called the placebo effect. Again, because they don't know the difference. They think they're taking the real medicine. Their brain actually minimizes the pain that they're feeling, and they get the same effect that the people that took the actual medicine. Your mind is a very, very powerful thing. It affects your body. So you have to be careful the things you think about. So how do you have a ready mind? Acts chapter 17, 11 says, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. That's the key right there. It's about what you're putting in there that's going to affect you, that's going to give you the things, the right things to think about. You've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to receive the Word of God with a readiness of mind. And you've got to search the Scriptures on a daily basis. You've got to get in that book every day and you've got to read it. You got to put down that phone. We talked about 7.5 hours of screen time a day. Imagine how well you could learn your Bible if you just took 1 hour that you put your phone down and picked your Bible up every day for an hour instead of that extra hour on your phone wasting your time. There's a danger in thinking about the wrong things. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You get your mind focused on the right things, the result in your life is peace. You get God's peace in your life. That's an incredible thing, guys. We look around the world today. I talked about it at the very beginning of my message. There's a lot of terrible stuff going on in this world. There's a lot of things that we can get worried about, that we can be afraid of, that we can be, you know, fretful over. And yet the Bible tells us that if we become spiritually minded, if you get into that Bible and you learn the principles of the Word of God, God will give you a peace in your heart, a peace in your mind that will help you to be not afraid of those things because you understand what's going on and you understand that God is going to protect you and He's going to take care of you. The only way to have a ready mind is through reading God's Word and studying it on a daily basis. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, your mind gets corrupted every day. Those 7 hours on your phone, those 7 hours playing video games, getting on TikTok, watching all of the things, swallowing up, consuming all of that stuff that the world is trying to feed you, that the devil, quite frankly, is trying to feed you through those social media apps, corrupts your mind and it changes your mind on a daily basis. So Romans 12 says we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You've got to get up every day and you've got to pray to the Lord and you've got to get your Bible out and you've got to read it and you've got to renew your mind day by day. You've got to flush the stuff out that the world is trying to put in there. You've got to transform that mind. Our mind is constantly focused on the wrong things. If we don't do something to counter that, if we don't do something to change that, we think about the things of the world all the time on a daily basis, and we've got to do something to break that cycle to get our mind thinking about the right things and focusing on the right things. There's a verse over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 that tells us what to do. You know, your mind will go to very dark places. Your mind will take you to places of, you know, some of you may struggle with being afraid of things, you know, and some of that is normal. Some of that's just part of being, you know, part of being young. But for some of you, it's crippling. And I would never ask you to raise your hand and say anything about it. But just know that God understands where you're at and what you're going through. And there's a way to defeat that. There's a way. You don't have to go through life being afraid of everything, being afraid that something bad is always going to happen to you. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." This is something that you do on a daily basis, and this is an active thing. Notice it says casting down imaginations. This isn't just about you sit and yes, you do pray to God and ask for His help, you know, with your problems. But you have to actually in your mind take those imaginations. When your mind starts to go to those places, when your mind starts to take you to places and thinking about things that you know you shouldn't be thinking about, you start worrying about things that you know you shouldn't be worried about, you have to actually in your mind cast those imaginations down. You have to say, "I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm not going to be afraid of that." And you give it over to the Lord, and you do that on a daily basis. You do it throughout the day. And then it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's something that every single time something comes into your mind that you know is a thought that you shouldn't be thinking, you've got to tell yourself, "I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to bring that thought into the obedience of Christ. I'm going to get my mind back stayed on Him, back where it needs to be." But that's something that you have to do actively throughout the day. It's not just going to happen on its own. On its own, left to itself, your mind is going to run rampant all over the place, all over into everything that you shouldn't be focused on and that you shouldn't be thinking about. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read a verse together. I don't want to just read all these verses for you. I'll give you guys some practice for your sword drills. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 8 here. He says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," what? Say it with me. "Think on these things." He gives you a whole list of things, and I would challenge you to tell me where you're going to find any of these things on TikTok or on Snapchat or in your video games with some of the people that you get online and play with, or anywhere in the world, anything the world has to offer. You're not going to find these things there. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, virtue, praise. Where do you find those things? You find them right here. You find them in the pages of the Word of God. You find them in the truth of the Word of God. That's the only place you find them. And He says, think on these things. So when you find yourself going down a road that you're not supposed to be in your mind, and you're casting down those imaginations and you're bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, this is where you go. You go to the verses that God has given you. You can use the verses that you're memorizing this week. You can take other principles. You might see a verse that you get from me some morning, or maybe that you get from Mike in the evening, and you say, "I like that verse. That verse really touched my heart. I'm going to memorize that verse." And let God bring those verses to your remembrance in those moments. And you think on those things and you get those other things out of your mind. We've got to stop putting the trash of this world in our brain. Some of you guys in here are computer programs. Maybe some of you girls too. Sorry, I don't mean to just make it about the guys. And I'm assuming this saying is still around, but there used to be a saying with computer programming, garbage in, garbage out. And my understanding of that, at least always was, because I'm not a computer programmer, I'm not smart enough to do it, is that, you know, computers, people get, when they try to program and they try to do things with computers, they get really frustrating when it won't do what they want it to do. And I took a computer programming class in high school, and I was not good at it, and it was very frustrating. And my problem would always be I would literally miss like a semicolon or a colon or a forward slash instead of a backslash or something stupid like that. And the dumb thing wouldn't work and it wouldn't do what it was supposed to do. And I'd always get mad. I'm like, "This stupid computer." And my teacher would always say, "Garbage in, garbage out. It's not the computer. The computer's doing exactly what you told it to do. Your problem is you made a mistake somewhere in the code that you wrote. You've got to fix it. If you put the right code in, the output is going to be right." In your life, in your mind, it's exactly the same thing. What you're producing out of your mind, the things that you're thinking about, the difficulties that you face and that you struggle in your life is a result of the input that you put into your brain in the first place. Garbage in, garbage out. That it's a law. You can't get away from it. So you've got to fix what you're putting into your mind. If what's coming out of it is not what's right, then that means what you're putting in is not what's right. Your mind is the rudder of your ship, okay? If you're a ship trying to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, your mind is the rudder. Your mind is what's going to steer you in the direction that you're going to go. You're either going to go God's direction or you're going to go your own direction. You're going to go the direction that the devil wants you to go. And if your mind is the rudder, your heart is the engine that's going to power it. And so let's talk about your heart for a little bit. We talked about your mind and having a ready mind. Let's talk about a ready heart. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. That's going to be in your Old Testament, back towards the front. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3 says this, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So now we're going to talk about having a ready heart. And this verse says to prepare your heart. And what does prepare mean? It's just another way of saying to be ready or to make something ready. And Samuel said here, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. The Philistines were their enemy back here. Okay? And Samuel's telling them, here's how you're going to overcome your enemy. You prepare your hearts to serve the Lord, and the Lord's going to deliver you from the Philistines. You prepare your hearts to serve the Lord, and the Lord will deliver you from your enemies. He'll deliver you from your troubles. He'll deliver you from your struggles and from your issues. What happens if you don't prepare your heart? 2 Chronicles 12:14 says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." If you don't prepare your heart to seek the Lord, you don't prepare your heart to serve the Lord, the Bible says you're gonna literally go in the opposite direction and you're gonna do evil. You're gonna do evil in God's sight. It's a pretty simple thing. It's a pretty simple equation. Now, there's a couple of tests that the Bible gives us that I'm gonna share with you for looking at your heart and as kind of a temperature gauge for where your heart actually is. The first thing is you got to ask yourself the question, what do you love? Matthew 6:21 tells us, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So what is it that you love today? What's your treasure? Ask yourself. I can't answer it for you. But is it a sport? Is it some boyfriend? Is it some girlfriend? Is it a car? Is it video games? Is it music? Is it TikTok? What is it? What is it that's your treasure? What's the thing that you love more than anything else? What's the thing that you spend more time with, more time doing than anything else? That's the answer for where your heart is. And if you're spending way more time playing video games, you're spending way more time scrolling through TikTok, getting on Instagram, and snapping your friends on Snapchat and whatever else than you are in the Word of God, then don't try to fool me and don't try to fool yourself, because you're not fooling God that you truly love Him and you truly love the Word of God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the first test. The second test is, and this one you really can't get away from, because this is out there for everybody. What's in your mouth? What do you talk about? This goes hand in hand with the first one, but Matthew 12:34 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Your mouth is going to tell you and everybody else around you what's in your heart. The things that you talk about, the things that you... And look, I'm not trying to say that, you know, 100% of the words that come out of your mouth need to be, you know, praise Jesus and praise the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if you're never talking about the things of God, If you're never talking about the things God's done in your life, you're never talking about some verse that God showed you, some principle that you learned, something that you're working on with the Lord, you need to do some checking with yourself. Because there's some issues there. There's some issues within your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This happens especially when you're in situations and moments of stress. When something really bad happens, you know, you, so to speak, bang your thumb with a hammer, right? What comes out of your mouth when those things happen? That'll tell you what's really in your heart. It's those moments where you find out, because we can all put on a good show. We can come to camp and we can be like, you know, praise the Lord, brother, amen. I love Jesus. You love Jesus? I love Jesus. I probably love Jesus more than you. And we can do all of that stuff, okay? But when it's down playing slide ball and somebody accidentally undercuts you and your foot goes out and you land on the ground and you think you broke your tailbone, what flies out of your mouth when that happens? That's when you find out what's really in your heart. That's when you find out. It's those moments. It's those moments of stress, those difficult times in your life where what is it that's coming out of your mouth? 2 Chronicles 19:3 says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." There's some things in your life that you've got to remove in this process of preparing your heart to seek God. There may be people in your life that you need to remove. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do at all. I'll tell you, you know, sometimes God will remove them for you if you're not willing to do it yourself. When I was your age, when I first trusted Christ as my Savior, my best friend in the world, we had been best friends through school since like first grade. And I literally feel like, well, I don't literally, I mean, I know that this was God's hand, that God did this. I got saved over the summer between my eighth grade and ninth grade year in school. And this guy who I had been friends with, like I said, since first grade, absolutely just, I mean, it was, he dumped me like a bad habit. I mean, he wanted nothing to do with me anymore. He didn't want to hang out anymore. He found new people that he wanted to hang out with. And all of a sudden, I'm like, this guy that I used to do everything with, he's gone. And it was fine because God replaced him with different friends, new friends, other people that were like-minded with me at that time after trusting Christ as my Savior, other people that loved the Lord and loved the Bible. And so it was no problem. But God removed him out of my life because I needed him to be out of my life. I didn't need that influence anymore. And God may have to do the same thing with you guys. You may have to do it yourself. You may have to remove certain things out of your life to prepare your heart to seek God. But that's really the question. And as we get ready to close here, that's the question that I want you to ask yourself right now as we head into the rest of this week is, are you preparing your heart to seek the Lord? What are you seeking this week? What are you seeking right now? I've been watching you guys for the last almost 24 hours. Some of you are seeking friends. Some of you are seeking boys. Some of you are seeking girls. And that's not where you want to be right now. That's not where you want your hearts to be. You want to be seeking the Lord. God's got something for you this week, I promise you. But you have to go looking for it. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Says this, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." See, there they are right together. They're together all the time. That heart and mind, you can't go anywhere without them both. You can't, it doesn't work with one without the other. So he says, "Serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." See, you see, I mean, this verse has everything we've been talking about. He says he searches the heart and he understands those imaginations, those things that you think about, those things that you need to cast down, if you remember. And he says, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." So that's ultimately the question I'm asking you. And I want you to turn to Isaiah 55, and this is going to be the last thing we look at. Isaiah chapter 55, the question is, for you right now, at the very beginning of our week, What are you seeking this week? What are you seeking? Because that's what it's going to take. You have to seek the Lord. He's right there for you, but you have to seek Him. Let's read Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Guys, God can be found for you in your life this week. He's here. He's here. He's looking for you, but He's waiting for you to seek Him. He's right here for you. Everything that He wants for you is here this week. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know. I know in a room this size for sure, there are probably several people in here that have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And you're here this week because God wants to touch your heart and God wants to save you. He wants to tell you and He wants to show you how you need a Savior, how you need forgiveness for your sins. And He wants you to make that decision this week to trust Him as Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you are saved, maybe you haven't wholly dedicated your life to the Lord. Maybe you're too busy on TikTok and you don't read your Bible the way you should. Maybe you don't even go to church and you're not growing. You're not doing anything for God. God wants you to do something with your life too. He's got something for you this week too. But the key is seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. So I'm going to close with that, guys. I want you to seek God this week. I don't know where you're at individually, but you know where you are. God's talking to you in your heart right now, telling you where you are, talking to you about what you need. So my goal for you, what I'm urging you to do is seek the Lord this week. If you seek Him, He will be found. That verse is very clear, but it's up to you. If you walk through this week and all you're trying to do is just have fun and screw around and have a good time, you'll be able to do that. But you're going to miss the real reason why you're here. And look, here's the deal. We're going to have fun this week. That's going to happen no matter what. Don't miss the opportunity to find what it is that God has for you. Within your own heart, tell the Lord, Lord, I'm seeking You this week. I want You to give me what You have for me. I want You to show me why I'm really here. What need is it that I have in my life? What do I need to fix? And let's start working on getting a ready mind and a ready heart so we can become everything that God wants us to be. And tomorrow we're gonna tackle the next aspect of that.